So again, hello everybody. It is Michelle, and this is our Having a Big Why half day retreat. We are going to begin in Shavasana, as I just said off the recording. We're going to begin in Shavasana so that we can find that centered place, come from our biggest selves, and really make the most of this extraordinary time we're going to have together this afternoon. So with Shavasana, when we just start just lying and breathing, I suggest that you go for video privacy. So you can turn off your video for this part. You don't have to, but if you do, that allows you to just be in your own space, just have your own quiet moment on your own and not be distracted by people in your environment, by anybody else in the room, just going inward. So allow yourself to have space. Don't be bumping into walls or books or papers or stuff. Move that stuff away from you and your body away from walls. And if you can't lie down where you are, you can do this as a seated meditation. But if you're able to lie down, simply lie on your back. And all we're doing is lying on our backs and breathing. But the impact of this practice is bigger than I have words to say. So make sure you're comfortable. Have support beneath your head and neck and maybe a folded blanket so that the chin is lower than or at least level with the forehead. You can actually take the head, backs of the fingers at the back of the head, the thumbs on your around your chin, and just lengthen out. You know, like if you go to massage therapy, they lengthen out the back of your neck. It's a really nice thing to do. And then rest the head on the supports beneath you so that you can be comfortable and aligned. Bend the knees for a moment, place the feet into the floor, press into the floor, lift the buttocks up and take the hands and actually take the flesh of the buttocks toward the heels. And then slowly release the buttocks down toward the floor so that you don't have that wow in the low back, that the low back is comfortable and you tuck the tailbone slightly so that your body is appropriately aligned and your low back is comfortable. Extend one leg out and then the other. And release the baby toes to the floor. Let the big toes follow the baby toes. The legs a comfortable distance apart. Arms are in a low V, palms up position. And let's bend the elbows actually for a moment. Bend the elbows, dig the elbows into the floor and lift and open the heart center any amount. And then again, release the arms into that low V, palms up position. Relax the palms. Relax the fingers, relax the arms and legs, relax the torso, relax the face and throat. And if you haven't yet, softly close your eyes. Take this time deeply for yourself. Scan the body for any tension. And where you find tension, breathe into that spot. And let it go. Relax the forehead. Smooth out the lines of the forehead. Soften the space between the eyebrows. Relax the cheeks and jaw. Relax the tongue all the way to its root in the throat. Teeth slightly parted, lips touching, not touching. Just barely touching. Let the lips be soft and full. Let go of whatever was happening before you came into this space. It's past now, let it go. Let go of whatever else you're doing today, later today, or this weekend. It's not here yet. Nothing you can do about it now. Just be here. Be present in this moment. Give yourself the gift of this moment, here and now. Feel the breath. Have you noticed the breath yet today? Take a moment to do so now. What's its quality? Is it high in the chest or low in the belly? Deep or shallow, ragged or smooth? Just notice, what's this breath like? Pay attention. If you find your mind wandering, as mind will, this monkey mind, just gently, without judgment, let that thought go as unimportant right now. Let it just fade away due to lack of attention to it, because your focus is just on the breath. Let the front body release into the back body. And let the whole body release to the earth. And notice how in this moment, in this quiet space, with this breath, all is well. In the quiet space of Shavasana, where the mind is open and receptive, the heart center is open. Affirm your own goodness, your own worthiness. And know that all truly is well. And knowing that soon you'll be coming out of Shavasana, it begins just with the thought that soon you will move. Allow the breath to deepen. Place your hands somewhere on your torso. Feel the breath. Notice. Slowly, slowly bend your knees. Roll onto your right side and support your head with your upper arm and wait. When you open your eyes, let your gaze be soft, unfocused, just a few inches ahead of you on the carpet or floor. And keeping the gaze toward the floor, use your hands to press yourself up to sitting and return to our virtual circle. And then for the rest of our time together, always, always, whenever possible, camera on, so that we are present and present together. Magic happens in this room, in this circle, and it's not always happening at a conscious level. It's happening on multiple levels. And so you want to close other windows, release other things, and just be present in this room. So coming back to our circle, camera on. Welcome back, Diane. So glad to see you here. I'm always happy to see the first person. It's like, did Zoom drop? No, they're still here. Welcome back. Welcome back. All right. I would love to hear from one or two of you. And that we learn many things in Shavasana. Excuse me as I just pour myself some sparkling water here. We learn many things in Shavasana. We learn one-pointed focused attention. We learn to let go of the stuff that doesn't serve us. We learn to be present We learn a reset for our stories. So many things happen when we're practicing Shavasana, and we learn to take good care of ourselves. The practice is a metaphor, you know, am I in pain, but I'm just going, oh, it's okay. It's not going to last long. You know, I'll get through it. Then that's how we're living our lives. And we also learn how to focus our attention. There might've been 99 things that you didn't like. I hope not, right? But there was one thing when you looked that you loved. Maybe it was 99 things that you loved, one thing that you didn't like, and all our attention goes there. We want to train our focused attention on the thing that we love, and that becomes our world, because that's what we are used to seeing. We do it over and over again. Every time we do Shavasana, we're training that focused attention so that that's our practiced habit. We get out in the world, somebody spills coffee on us, and we go, oh yeah, but I like their dress, you know, because that's, it takes practice. It's our focused attention and practice. So I'd love to hear from one or two of you, what did you love in your practice of Shavasana today? Dawn, thank you.
Hello. I noticed the direction to focus on where the breath was coming from and to pay attention to my breath and where it's coming from. That was helpful for me to, because I often think about what the breath means rather than just paying attention to the breath and where it's coming from. So it was another level of letting go and not having to think about this or that. Focus just on the breath at another level.
I love that, Dawn. Thank you. I have this tendency too from my university background. We can intellectualize things. We can make it all our heads, and then we can't get there from there. And the deep yoga practice that I've done for decades now and training and teaching and study teaches me and teaches us to just be present, right? And it's like babies do that and toddlers do that. And then we could get it trained out of us, and we're just training it back into being what we naturally are. Am I making sense here? Yeah, it's our natural state of being, but it's been layered over with all these cultural expectations and thinking and figuring it out. And what is the, you know, in grade school, what does a teacher want? And am I sitting straight, or did I color it the right way, or whatever? Do I have to eat this broccoli on my plate? We get cold, you know, we get so mixed up in culture. Shavasana takes us back to who we are, back to basics, back to the actual experience of it, not intellectualizing about it, but just like, there's my breath right here, right now. And it gives us information as well. So Dawn, you're notice, you're what you loved about it. Let's me train one more aspect every week. And you come each time, you get like, we meet most weeks, we don't meet every week, but if you think of it, is it 50 trainings? I don't know, 50 times we do Shavasana in the year, probably close to it. If not, it's 40, I don't know how many times. But every single time you learn one more layer of what this is doing. And I'm hoping that each of you are, you know, you're starting your day with this. If you're not, hopefully you'll be encouraged to. Today, like 5 minutes, lie and breathe is going to do so many things for you. And so instead of intellectualizing it, just being present with it. And the thing that it allows me to say too is it gives us information. If the breath is all ragged and it's high in the chest and it's really shallow, what's happening? There's a fight or flight response going on in us that we might not have even been aware of in our day. When we stay there, we're going to run out of energy before the end of our day. It's leaking energy everywhere. And our breath will tell us that when we might not even have known that that was happening. It provides information. So I want to be aware. I want to be curious about the breath. What's actually happening with the breath? And when we're in that panic, fight or flight, our breath gets shallow, right? We can't breathe. It's high up here. And the opposite, so our emotional state affects our breathing. But the arrows go the other way as well when we learn to play with the breath. And Shavasana is the foundation for pranayama. I've taught, you know, breath work, yoga breath work for years. And we can start to play with the breath, and we can start to affect it just by noticing it. Don't have to do any fancy technique. And the breathing starts to slow down because we're stopping and paying attention. Heart rate drops. I've been doing Shavasana with my Fitbit now for a couple of years. It's astonishing. When we say that Shavasana rests the heart, they really mean it. My Fitbit tells me so. my heart rate drops, you know, our heart rate drops. We unplug that fight or flight, and that our breathing changes, and it changes our emotional state. It changes the stories we're creating from that emotional state. And then we go into our day very differently. So thank you for that one aha that I have not trained on that. That is the deepest we've done ever in this community around that piece of what Shavasana is doing for us. So thank you for that. Beautiful. Let's hear from one more of you. What did you love from your practice of Shavasana today? Before I get to my really super special announcements. All right, Heidi, go ahead. Thank you.
It's perfect to follow Dawn with this. While I was doing it, the first and the same thing about the breath and noticing it. And I think you said, Michelle, something about what is it telling you, or at least that's what I heard. And I thought I suddenly got a message from my breath. I'm here for you. And then in the next moment, though, I have a cold and I started to cough. And in that moment, I had a fear reaction. Oh no, I'm coughing. But breath, you said you were here for me. And I make you go away. And then it was back.
When I say that we learn so much, and so much happens in Shavasana, it's more than, you know, if we spent the next year and only talked about this, this is more than we can talk about. And it has to be experienced as well. And so if that's happening, when that's happening in Shavasana, that's happening out there in our world as well. It's part of the human condition. You know, we all have, abandonment, you know, trigger, right? When we're babies, whoever's looking after us has to go away and tend to something else sometimes, and we feel alone, right? You guys know it. I've been talking to my team about it. It's like, watch for that in me, because like my parents both just left this planet. And so, you know, I'm going to feel that. And so we feel that as human beings sometimes into greater extent or lesser extent, and then in our own individual way. And so to notice that that's happening is freedom. To see that it's happening. Because it's the breath playing out that story, right? And then to wait and not jump to conclusions and then, you know, spin whole stories and go interact with the person that we feel or whatever it is. But instead, just Heidi, what you did, it's so instructive, just like, but breath and then actually feeling it. And then it came back. It's like, wow, I am supported. Wow, all is well. Wow, did you get what I'm saying? Is that making sense from what you just said? To get that embodied experience that I am supported, that I am not abandoned in the way that we all feel sometimes, right? By nature of human condition, right? That we will be supported while we're building our companies, while we're going about our daily work, while we're having fun, while we're, what a gift that is. Then go on stage, then go have that strategy session, then meet that new person who's going to be your team member or your next client. Heidi, beautiful. Thank you. All right. Anything else wanting to be said about Shavasana? Sometimes we go deeper in, sometimes we go like take more time, less time, depending on what you guys see and hear. And depending on just, I sense into the energy of it. And this is a deep, deep dive into Shavasana. Beautiful notice. Yeah. Anything else? All right. Thank you. So again, this is our Having a Big Why virtual half day retreat. And Amy sent me the announcements on the letter. I'm going to go find them to see what it is. I always, when she makes them, you guys know, I do a better job of them. Get the dates right. She's much better at it than I am. So I got to go find it on my computer in a minute, but I know what the first announcement is. And I so am excited about this. And I know that we welcomed you at Story Freedom, Anna Maria, but you know, here we are inside the party. And this is an amazing community. This, like every single person in this community, is an amazing soul, has been on an amazing journey. Just like, I love you guys. There is so much love in this community. There's each and every one of you. We've been on a deep dive journey together, whether it's been a short one or already many, many years. And Anna Maria, I am so so glad you have joined us. So will you join me? Please unmute, and on the count of three, can we welcome Anna Maria into our Love Your Words, Love Your Life community. Ready? One, two, three. Welcome, Anna Maria.
Welcome, Anna Maria.
Congratulations.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
Thank you so much, you guys. I love that. It's one of my favorite things to do, because we all want to be welcomed too, right? And this is such a welcoming community, and we all want to know that we're in the right place. And Anna Maria, you're in the right place. We all also then for the rest of us, I love the little icons on, you know, Zoom is so fun, right? I see you, I see you. And Anna Maria, you know, and it might feel like, wow, I can't remember why I took this leap. Oh, you know, I'm just scared. Or it might be like, oh my goodness, in being here, it's vibrating inside me. Whatever state you're in right now is just perfect. But we all want that leaping energy. We want that to leap into the best breakfast we're ever going to have in the world. We want that to leap into a new level relationship with our child or with our cousin or with our next client. We all want that leaping energy into something we're afraid of. We a special trip we're taking, a way that we're stretching ourselves in ways that we've never done before. If we're on a path of growth, it entails leaping. Make sense? And Anna Maria, you just took a beautiful and profound and a wonderful leap. And I know it's one that you have held the space for a long time. So I'm so proud of you, my friend. I'm so happy to see you here. And I would love if you would share with us what made you leap so that we can catch some of that leaping energy. And also, so you can remember it yourself if you've already forgotten. Sometimes it's like by the next day, we go, why did I do that? Right? Or you might be going, wow, I can't wait to tell my story, whatever it is. Anna Maria would be perfect.
No, as I had mentioned to you before, it has always really been my dream to work with you since the first time I saw you. I knew that I needed that in my life because I really want to know more about me, who I am, all my possibilities, all the just an empowerment that I have that I could show to the world. And just to be in this community is really, really wonderful. So I'm really proud of myself for doing this too, but I'm very honored to be here as well. And it's time for me to change. A big transformation.
Yeah. You're so ready. You're so ready. And it's already happening. And I just am so happy for you, for the community, for your presence here. And Diane, I know you know what that feels like too. You know, it's like not the newest anymore on the blog, right? And also, I love what you said about knowing you, knowing your possibilities. And we work on this and we play with this all year long. But the pieces that we're going to be doing, and all year long, every piece we're doing, it is trained on that. You're so in the right place. When I know my big self, when I know my possibilities, when I know who I am to my core, my story changes. What I do changes. What I dream about changes. Everything changes. So beautifully, beautifully put. And time to change, time for transformation. Again, if we're on a path of opening, then, you know, if we're not just static, we're not just stuck, then things are changing and we can be in the driver's seat of that change headed to where we want to go. So Anna Maria, welcome and thank you.
Thank you.
And one more piece I want to add about that too. Hang on, what was it? It was possibility, proud and honored. That's so beautiful too, you know, because that's about proud for the leap you took, because it takes, I mean, everybody here knows, right? It takes a lot. I've done it myself, or I couldn't hold space for people doing that. It takes our breath away sometimes, right? But it's time for change and ready for transformation. And so, so, so beautiful. And there was one more piece I wanted to say about that, because what you said was so beautiful. Let me see if I can remember it. It's not scripted, because it's what I just heard from you. Oh, yes. It's in every piece of everything that we do all year long. It's like, and they work. It works synergistically together to create that, right? But also the pieces that we have coming up in these next 3 weeks, I'm so excited about. And we've never had this sequence before. We have an all new marketing story. We've never done that. This has been scattered throughout the year before. We've gathered it in a day-long marketing story. We've never done having a big why beside quantum leaps, create your future story beside marketing a story. That is our December. And I am like hopping excited for you guys. Because when we know why we're doing what we're doing, and you can go Google it, whatever, but are we actually living it? Are we actually doing it? What's it like day by day and moment to moment? How do we actually cultivate that so we're living from that place, right? When we know what that is, we're on fire. We become bigger than any obstacle. And we live with passion rather than perfection. You know, get out of that perfectionist stance. We live from that deep place of, I'm on this planet for a reason. Yes, right? Combine that with quantum leaps next week. Create your future story. So half day retreat, full day retreat. So much to support you to launch off your new year. So next week, quantum leaps, create your future story. What am I even aiming at? What can I envision? And we don't want to be like Harry Potter envisioning when he's beneath the stairs. He's like, I could go out for an afternoon maybe and sneak away from the Dursleys. We envision like that when we don't know who we are. Make sense? And then no matter how much we're envisioning that day and creating vision boards and so on, we're just going to envision maybe getting out of the closet, right? Getting out of underneath the stairs, you know? And instead, something so much bigger when we know, Harry, you're a wizard. Oh my goodness. But like the possibilities are so much bigger. We can dream bigger and actually create that future story that then we live. So that's next week, right? Now, what is it to live by that passion, by that deep, deep why? How to find it, how to live it, how to make it three-dimensional, like real in our lives. Next week, how do we combine that with the vision and then marketing a story? How can we take that out there on the court and go and meet the people we're meant to serve? How do we even do that and let it be easy? So that our mission is connected with who we are, connected with the vision of what's possible, connected with meeting not the people that we think we've got to work with for now until we meet those people that when we're ready, actually working with the people that we love to work with right here, right now, marketing a story and living it on the court. So getting those pieces to actually do it. So that's the way we're headed into 2022. So thank you, Anna Maria, for launching us off for our having a big why half day retreat. And Marie, thank you for adding that to the notes. So next week is Quantum Leaps and then marketing a story the week after that. And that was probably in the announcement. So let me go check what I'm supposed to announce here because Amy just sent it to me and I didn't have a chance to print it off today. So let me make sure that I've said everything. Oh, right. Well, you know, Amy was much more gracious than me because she welcomed Anna Maria and also Diane. Now we've welcomed Diane before, but it's still such a recent journey for her. So yay to Amy, you know. I did make a gesture over there. Also, I was saying, Diane, you're already experienced in this community now too. So, but yes, I want to underline what Amy said here. And yes, Quantum Leaders Marketing is story, and Amy has also added practical applications. Yeah, get results with your words. That starts January 6th. So how do we start off our year with, how do we then use our words and our stories over here when we're networking, over here when we're marketing, over here when we're on stage, all the places, what are even the places that we should focus on in our companies? And then how do we make it so much easier? What is it that we need to do to cut through? And it's not going to be just a little elevator pitch. If you want that, I can give you that, no problem, but it's not going to be the scripted fill in the blank, right? And for some of you, this is totally new. For some of you, if you've been there before, get ready for a deeper level of it, right? Because maybe you knew about how to create a talk, but you weren't on stage before, but you had a vision of it. Now you're speaking. And so then how do you actually get in front of those audiences? And then how do you get in front of bigger audiences? And how do you craft and refine your story? We'll see that with, or refine your talk. We'll see a bit of that with Mary Kay's question later on in the call today. So. Announcements. Anything else? Right. With thanks to Amy, please complete your survey. I think it should be in your inbox. If it's not, it should be very soon. There is a survey that we ask you to complete before our Quantum Leaps retreat. So if you can complete that by next Monday, that gives me a chance to review them. I already know what it is that I want to teach you, what I want to transmit, right, at that retreat, but it's going to take a very different form depending on what I read and where you're at and what matters to you. Make sense? So, and also that by filling out the survey, it's a huge opportunity for you to take a snapshot of what it is that you really want. Where are you going? How you know, are you aiming for the ceiling or have you really allowed yourself to dream? And then what's in the way? And but also what's possible for you? What do you even want as you create your future story? What does it even mean to you to create your future story? So I would spend, you know, make sure you get it in. You can spend 5 minutes and send it in. Or you can carve out time in your calendar. I suggest that you do that. Carve out an hour, carve out a couple of hours, talk to each other about it. The survey itself can be life-changing, can be worth the price of admission for this year if you really dive into it. Does that make sense? And actually craft it. You could spend all week on it. I'm not expecting that anyone will do that, right? But if you did, it would be worthwhile. All right. Anything else? Okay. Yes, we have a couple of questions. I am going to, oh my goodness. Let me just, sorry, it's going to be a bit of noise, but I want to print this out because I don't forget to tell you a couple other things from the announcements, just making sure that I answer a couple of questions on deck. We have a great question from Mary Kay and one from Dawn that I answered on the Facebook page, but I want to return to. We'll return to it a little bit later in the call. And let me see if you can, Marie, will you hold me accountable to that so that if we don't return to those questions by half an hour before we're ending, please remind me to return to the two questions on deck. Thank you so much. So I don't have to keep that right in mind. And we will get to better answers to those questions by the end once we've done the content for today. Okay. Just a bit about the structure of our day, and then we're going to dive in. So we're going to take a break halfway through. I guess that's most of the structure of the day. So don't worry. We'll make sure we've tended to your energy. If we haven't had a break by about 2:15 or so mountain time, we'll take the break around then halfway through. Usually we take one break. Occasionally we'll take two shorter breaks if that's the way the material divides up. But don't worry, there will be a break partway through. So meanwhile, take good care of yourself if you need to stand up, if you need to, you know, make sure you have something to drink beside you. Let's everybody, if you've got that, take a sip of whatever it is you have. Stay hydrated. I love that, collective hydration. Okay. So about 2:15, maybe we'll take a break. I'm not promised about the time, but we'll certainly take a break. All right. So this retreat is called Having a Big Why. So we think of it as the Why Retreat. And it's part of our, I just want to give you a context, the 8,000 foot view. It's part of what we call our Allow series. Whether you see that written anywhere or not, this was, I mean, when Marie and I started our work together, goodness, 2010 was it when this community was born? So 11 years ago, all I knew was the Allow series. That's where we started. We build it one piece at a time. And Allow, the Allow series is, you know, allowing that inner world story to shift. How do we shift the inner world story? Jack Canfield says 1 hour work in the inner world is equal to 7 hours work in the outer world. Are you working too hard? Are we working too hard? Our Allow series are the exact components, the exact pieces we need to really shift that inner world story. And so Allow is an acronym, and the W is where we're at right now, and W stands for why. So, what do I want to say about why to start with? I'm just pausing for a minute because I want to decide if I want to give you an outline for our day or if I just want you to experience it piece by piece, because we've never put it together in exactly this way before. And let me see. I think I'm going to give you a hop, skip, and a jump through what I want to dive through today. I don't usually do that because I don't want you thinking ahead, and you don't have to get this down. Don't worry, you'll have the recording, but just so you have a little bit of a map of the pieces that we're going to get to. We're going to start with foundation. If we're not having fun, we're not doing it right. Part of our why needs to be, we'll have fun. If it's not fun, what's the point? We're going to talk about that. Why it's so important to focus on the why, not the how. And I know you guys know that intellectually, but we're actually going to feel that in our bodies so that, because, and even when we know it, we still end up doing the opposite. It's human nature. So how do we change that? So we're not having fun. We're not doing it right. We're going to talk about why versus how, and the why it comes from our stories, right? It's kind of a no-brainer to think about that, but story, you know, the why in story is desire. It's the pull of desire. You know, I want that thing and I want it so badly. And I've got a big why about it. There's a thing that I want. It's right at the heart of story, right? So, and we both want, having a big why is the nature of story. And then also we want to tap into the power of story in order to deepen our why, our come from place for all the things that we do in our lives, right? So fun, why versus how, it comes from our stories. And then I want to give you a technique for really deepening that why. Just call it why. We're going to do a little game about why. And really profound things have happened in this little game, and we'll see what happens here today. We have played this game before, but when we do this, every aspect of our life has the possibility to change when we understand how this technique works. We're going to talk about everyday whys and big whys. And we're going to talk about the connection between why and our vision. When we have a big vision, it creates a big why. Again, think about story. Luke has a mission. He's got something he really, really wants, and he's got a big why for it. They're connected. And the material for today and Quantum Leaps, create your future story, having that vision, they're connected, right? But we're going to start doing a piece of that vision today. The power of emotion for your why and for your vision. You know, we can intellectualize all this and nothing is going to happen. Then we wonder what's wrong, right? It's one of the reasons, somebody in this community, I had them take their vision board down. You've heard the story before. That's when she had her first $25,000 sale. So it's not obvious, right? And there's sometimes we do it in a way that's actually, you know, counterproductive. But we're going to talk about that emotion and how story generates that for our why, so that we have a much more profound place to come from. And then we're going to do a little exercise that reminds you that you know how to do this. You've done this before, and we'll let you tap into what you've done before so you can do it again and further and deeper and in the places that you want. And then I want to give one example. So I've got a very ambitious agenda for today. We'll see how much we get through. If we don't get through all of it, don't worry. We'll always pick it up somewhere. We'll pick it up in the Quantum Leaps retreat. We'll pick it up in Marketing a Story. We always end up getting there. The last one is an example, because a lot of us don't, we want to grow a company. If we're not making money, we don't have a company, we have a hobby, and it's going to end. Does that make sense? Like we're going to fizzle out, or we need some other source of, you know, it's generating something to support our hobby. But we often, and so a company makes money. And sometimes we have weird ideas about money. We have shame about money. We don't think it's our birthright to have money. And so I want to give an example of a why for money. Because this is a room of heart-centered people. I know that you're here. How many of you are do the work you do because you know it really touches people and changes lives? Raise your hand. It's such a no-brainer in this room. That's everybody, hands down, obviously, right? So I don't need to tell you, you know, well, to, you know, if you want to make money, you've got to be heart-centered and do something, you know, you're already that. So I want to turn it around and start from the other side. What if we had permission and had the why for the money piece of what we do, and then you will be able to apply to other places. Make sense? So I think that's one of the very first times I've actually outlined something beforehand. I don't usually do that because I don't want you in your head about those different parts. We've never done it in exactly this way before. And we'll see how far we get. So, and we'll get to all the pieces eventually, whether it's today or not, we'll see. All right. I want to open it up with none of these and ask you, the topic for our retreat today is having a big why. I just want to ask you why you think that's important. We don't have a why for our day. Why would we even be here? Right? If you don't care about having a big why, you might as well be eating bonbons on your couch and watching Star Trek, which I think is a good thing to do too, but you know. So big why. Why do you think that's important? Why is having a why important? Yeah, Anna Maria, thank you.
To live in purpose, to live in service, to have a vision. And just to know how much more is there for me or for people to give or to serve.
I hear that. That's beautiful. I get those chills. It's that next level, isn't it? There's so much more when we come from that. Those words that Anna Maria just said, I mean, purpose, to live on purpose. We're talking about actually living. We get to the end of our life and we go, I lived a life on purpose. Who wouldn't want that? Other than, you know, people living unconsciously, they don't know they want that until the end of their life. It's like, what was I even doing here, right? I'd rather think about that now. A life of service. It's fun when we get to help people and help them transform their lives. Vision. It's like, what if I could live my vision and actually create that thing? We'll talk more about that next week, right? But actually create that thing that I thought of it in my head and in my heart and in my soul. And then I actually go about doing it. And all of that is fueled by and is connected to a big why. If we don't have a big why, none of that happens. I at least I don't know how to make that happen. And making that happen is like pushing a boulder up a hill, right? Or up a mountain. So yes, thank you, beautiful. Let's hear from one or two more of you. Why? Because I want to know where you're standing with this. This isn't the first time you've heard this. We're going to get there in so much deeper way than we've ever done before. Why do you think it's important? Yeah, Mary Kay.
Well, it's inspiring, and it's like reinforcing, or you get a, it's like a reward for each, you're rewarding yourself, reinforcing yourself for doing these things. And it's like a constant rewards you're getting. So it's fun.
I love that, you know, and it's where this is such a beautiful entry point to our first place that we're going to get to today, which is we're not having fun. We're not doing it right. We'll get there in a moment. But I, even everyday examples of it, let's say I didn't make coffee for my daughter this morning, but I often have, right? And I can come to it in big ways or in small ways. I can go make the coffee and go, why is it my job to make the coffee? I don't want to make the coffee. I'm like, I'm tired this morning. Like, what kind of life is that, right? Because I don't even know why I'm doing it. And I feel burdened by it. And I think that, and also I'm, you know, not living that life in service. It's the opposite of what Anna Maria was talking about it. And, you know, in, and I, and I'm thinking that that doesn't matter. And then I'm going to go try to build my company or whatever it is, or even having a big why. We'll get to this about the little whys later on. Right. But I'm making the coffee because I can see that light in my daughter's eyes when I do it. I know it's going to surprise her when I do. I didn't do it today, but I have done it often. Right. I can see that look of surprise, and she's going to be so happy because she didn't expect that. And I know it's going to lighten her day. And then she's working at her, you know, first job. She's a young woman. She's 22, and how she's, her whole day will be different. And she's going to be encountering people at her work, and how there's going to be a spin-off effect when she sees them because she's had her coffee in the morning. She didn't make it. She's going to be in service as I'm in service. And I love taking care of her because she's going to be moving out next summer, and I'm going to miss it. Can you get it? Like, having a big why is a practice, and that comes just easily to me because that's just how I think, because that's what I've practiced, right? And do I always do that? No. But do I want to practice that more? And it's an example of what Mary Kay was saying. We get to reward ourselves. We get to reinforce that action that we want. It's inspiring. Even if it's, and Mary Kay didn't say that, but that, I'm adding that to what you said, Mary Kay, even if it's, you know, something as simple as making coffee. Thank you for that. Love that. Let's hear from one more of you. Why would this matter? Diane, thank you.
Well, our why motivates us. It inspires us. It guides us. It helps us when we make decisions regarding our, like, our personal life or our business life.
I love that. Motivates, inspires us, just helps us make decisions. What was the third thing? What was the third thing you said? Because everything you said was really good. Do you remember?
Well, when we make the decisions, it's not just business decisions, it's personal as well, so that we stay in integrity with where we're going.
Stay in integrity with where we're going. I love that. You know, it's part of not ending up in as a bit part in somebody else's journey. Staying in integrity with where we're going. You said it so succinctly, Diane. If we don't have a big why, it's going to be somebody else's. Somebody else will come along, and then we it's like we're a leaf blowing in the wind. And we don't ever end up in the driver's seat of our own lives and steer to where we want to go with our, this gift of life. So we get to be in integrity with where we're going, and we make decisions from that place. So, and to give my simple coffee example, I might decide that, well, you know, from that grocery place, right? And, you know, we all have those days, right? She can make her own coffee. I don't care. Like, all right, other things, blah, 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 right? And I, on a given day, I might have missed an opportunity for connection. I might have missed an opportunity to deepen something that really matters to me, which is my relationship with my daughter. That's on the personal level, right? I might have, and I make these micro decisions all the way along. Remember this, I did this a lot at Story Freedom, right? I make a slightly different decision and it's a whole different life. So if I'm making all these micro decisions and the macro ones as well, from that big way, and I'm big why, and I'm steering my own boat or my own, you know, vehicle, I'm in the driver's seat. It's many different, it's different decisions. It's a different it's a different life. It's a whole different quality of my life, not only moment to moment, but what I build. Making sense? Yeah, I love it. So jot down your biggest aha so far. And this is, you know, why do we need a why? I even wanted to have a why for talking about why. When we see the why, we're much more inclined to do something, to take action on it, to take it seriously, or to take it funly, or to take it as important. Now I want to start out even training, teaching and training. We want to have a why. There's a why about a why. So jot down your biggest insight. Take just a few seconds to take a half a minute to do that. What are your ahas? And I just realized, let's hear just one of these. What's the aha that you heard? What's opening for you now? Because there was already much shared about having a big why we would even want that. What did you hear? Let's hear from one of you. Yeah, Heidi, thank you.
My why is my compass and my fuel.
So beautifully put, so succinct. I've got chills. It that underlines so much of what we've already talked about, right? And puts it in such a beautiful, compact, and exquisite form. My why is my compass and my fuel. I love that. Yes. Anything else wanting to be said? Yeah, Mary Kay.
You see the good stuff.
Yeah. Yes. And I think of my coffee example again that followed from your insight, right? Yeah, and I can be like that, or I can remember why I'm doing that thing. And I'm going to both see the good stuff, and more good stuff comes to me, and more of my life is lived on that place, right? And from that place. Love that. Isn't that the life that we want to lead? I know that's the life I want to live, right? Beautiful. All right. And I'm going to do something different than I've ever done before, I think, ever in the history of this community. Mary Kay asked a lovely question about, would you give me three pieces of advice about my talk? And Mary Kay, thank you I asked her to send me a recording of her talk. So remember I said, as we're coming up to practical applications, here's just a little plug for practical applications, where I'll learn how to put your talk together. This is one of the calls, right? Because whether you're actually ever speaking on stage, or you're just even speaking to one person, when you create that, even if you have never used it, you're going to learn so much about who you're talking to, what matters to them, what your service is, how, you know, what the transformation is you provide, who you are, right? So, and Mary Kay, it's not your first rodeo. So from going, oh, I could speak to, you know, being like you shared with us at Story Freedom, thank you, being paid to speak on big stages, so wonderful. And then how you take that to the next level and repurpose that next time. So that's a next level question that you asked me. How can I take this talk that I've already done and use it for my webinar coming up in January? So that's the essence of her question. I asked her to send me her talk, right? Yes, Mary Kay, yes. You're looking like no.
Well, no, well, not exactly how I could use it, but I just wanted to know what could I learn from that talk that I can maybe do differently. Mm-hmm. I guess that's sort of what you said. But...
yeah, no worries. And I appreciate that, Mary Kay. It's like, if I don't get it right, just correct me, right? But here's what I want to do that's a little different. Usually I answer a question all at once, but something just came to mind in response to Mary Kay's question. And I wanted to give this one piece. I'll return to your question later on. First off, I want to say, Mary Kay, you've got to talk, and you've been out speaking, and you've been paid for your speaking. You're already like doing so much. So keep doing what you're doing. That's the foundation. Because sometimes as we want to learn about something, we go, oh, that was wrong, or that was wrong, or that was wrong. And we end up being like the version one of me of making the coffee, right? So we want to appreciate and love on that talk as it is. Beautiful, beautiful work. Foundation, everything. If we forget that, we want to forget everything else. That's the foundation. That's the most important thing. Then I wanted to use the training that we were just doing, like about why having a big why matters so much. And that how it's a practice to apply everything we're doing in the different places where we can apply it. Where can we apply this? Everywhere. And one of the places is in our talk. So Mary Kay, one of the things you did right at the beginning of your talk, I haven't listened to all of it yet, but you also gave me an outline of it, and I will listen to the rest of it for next week. And if you guys want me to do that, like, just, I can't promise I can get to it right away, but show me things and ask me questions, all right? I'm here in service to you. I want to help, right? And if you don't have the talk yet, again, or whatever it is, Mary Kay's talk will help all of you, all right? So thank you for posting the question, Mary Kay. So right away, you opened it. I had my notes in front of me. I don't have it in front of me right now, but you said, you know, what happens, how did you put it? What happens if your horse won't do what you want your horse to do? Something like that. If your horse doesn't, you know, and this is a big problem. You didn't word it like that. I'm not going to word it quite right, but this is a big problem and we're going to address this. You were giving people a why for listening to you. That's what you did really well at the opening of your talk. It's the structure of a talk, right? So I want to give you a very practical application of having a big why. Right in our talk, we need to give that why to our people. Just like I was doing that for you guys. Well, why even talk about a big why, or you won't want to be interested, right? So right at the start, you gave them a reason to listen. That's great. And also you gave them an example, your client, and this is what happened to her. And she, again, I only just started listening to your talk. I'll listen to more of it through the week. I have more time this week. But you said she saved her horse from a fire. That was it, wasn't it? Yeah. Doing this thing saved her horse from a fire. Let me show you how that works. Is that a big why? Oh my goodness, right? So you're already using this. You might not have thought of it as having a big why for your people, but you can frame it that way. What we're learning here will apply to every area of business, a talk, for example. And then one of the things that I wanted to add, one suggestion I want to give you as you rinse and repeat, do the same talk, don't change your act, change your audience. Like one of my teacher's fathers told her all the time, don't change your act, change your audience. Be in front of other people as you're going to be, and then just make it better and better. Instead of reinventing the wheel and creating 10 talks or 20 talks, one talk that you do over and over and over again, and you polish it and you get better and better at it. And so one of the things that I would add at the beginning, Mary Kay, is this is for you if you did like the general why they should be here, but I would add a statement at the beginning. I want you to know you're in the right place. This is for you if. You've watched me do that many times. So right away, and you might get to that afterwards, and I might have just not got to that place yet. Right? So then I'll listen some more, all right? But making sure that you've got that, this is for you if, right from the beginning, so they know why they're listening, right? And I'll listen further. I just haven't got to that yet. Right? So making sure in every piece of your talk that they know why they're there, what they're getting out of it, and what's their why for listening to you? What's their why for taking that next step? So as you look through your talk, think of it through that lens, and do they have a why for listening right now? And it's going to be that there's going to be a theme to put in story language. There's going to be one point that you're getting across through each place. If there's not, they'll get lost, right? So what's the one thing that I want to say to them at this point? And when they hear that, this is for you if, then that's their why. This is for you if you've ever felt like your horse doesn't listen to you. This is for you if, I don't know what years, I haven't got to that place yet, right? But I know we've worked on some of that before, but this is for you if you've ever felt like you're, you know, being too hard on your horse and you want to change that. This is for you if, oh, right. Then they have a why for listening and a why for learning more. All right. Does that give you at least one little piece? There's going to be more later on, Mary Kay, but making sense? Yes, and making sense to all of you that all of this is eminently practical in every area of our life, from making coffee to giving a talk. Okay, fantastic. Okay, jot down your biggest aha. Just want to empty out the room a little bit. Okay, just finishing up that last sentence. taking it to a place where you can come back to it in a later time. Okay. Let's hear one aha from that piece. Like, what did you learn for you? Dawn, thank you. I could feel that there was something bubbling up in the room. And then our energy is going to go over there and we want to come back for this next piece that I want to train, right? So Dawn, yeah, go ahead. Thank you.
To include your big why everywhere, to have that as a focus. So I find that that would really help me and my focus.
Thank you. Otherwise, we end up with such a, here's my list of tasks to do today kind of life, do you know? And that's like just killer. If I know why I'm doing what I'm doing, it doesn't matter what that thing is. I'm going to be alive every moment. Thank you for underlining that. Yes, good. Anything else bubbling up before we go on? Okay. So sometimes when we think about our big why, and again, you can go Google it, but do we actually live it then? Do we notice that it's in when we're making the coffee and when we're doing our talk and so on, right? Are we actually living it, right? And remember those four most dangerous words in the English language? I already know that. We only know it if we're living it, when we're living it. And there's always that next level of it. Just as words, it doesn't do anything. Actually embodied, actually lived. So sometimes when we think about having a big why, we kind of get stuck on it. Because we think, oh, it's got to be grand, it's got to be big, it's got to be important. Other people have it, and I don't. You know, what's happening to the energy in the room right now? And even just after 10 seconds of talking, if you've ever been in that place before, it's like, I know I need my why, I know I need, but it's really big and it's really hard, and I don't know what it is, so something must be wrong with my life. If you've even had a moment of that before, so that the why itself becomes strangely disempowering, raise your hand. Anybody ever done that to themselves before? Thank you. Look at all the hands up. Me too. Life has to be important. I better do something because I'm only big, you know, it can get heavy. That's why the first place I want to go to, and it's a ground, you can think of it as a ground rule. There's not many rules. I think sometimes myself as a coach and myself as a mom, it's similar energy, you know, like how we nurture people, right? How we take care of people and create a safe space. When I was, when Dana was young, I didn't have a lot of rules. I wasn't the kind of mom. But boy, the rules that there were, you better not break them. Like treat people with respect, you know, break that rule, she has to go home, you know, just like treat people with respect, be nice to each other, you know, like ground rules, you know, these things matter. And I don't even like the word rules, but how we play, whatever you want to call it. And I like this one. If we're not having fun, we're not doing it right. I don't even like putting things in the negative, but for some reason it's stuck in that way. If we're having fun, we're doing it right. Is probably better, but in me, it's always stuck as if we're not having fun, we're not doing it right. Because sometimes I'll catch myself like, am I having fun? Like, was my day really fun? Did it have a piece of fun in it? Our why needs to include that kind of energy. It doesn't have to be so heavy. It can be lighter. And it's like, whoa, I've got this big why and I've got to come up with it already. I'm not doing it right, you know? What if I could remember, and this, I love the trainings of, you know, Abraham Hicks, I'm a super fan of their work. I don't know if you know their work or you like their work, but I really love their work. And that's their tagline for the company is life is supposed to be fun. And this is like spiritual energy coming from on high, living the best life and most aligned on the planet. And the most important thing they can think of saying in just a few words is life is supposed to be fun. You know? And so we're not having fun, we're not doing it right. Part of our why. Shouldn't it be to have some kind of joyful life? So just notice the energy with which you're what you're bringing to your why. Is it heavy? Is it getting burdened? Is it that like, is it becoming another task on your to-do list? Somehow we've already started off on the wrong foot. And the example that came to mind, and then my editor is going like, don't say that one. And it's really weird how our editor works. Our editor, that's that voice inside. That's that old story that doesn't serve us, right? I've got one too. You know, it's why I love to continue doing this work. I'm not above any of it. I'm learning this right along with you. And when our editor says, don't say it, it probably is important. It's something we ought to say. So it's a story that I want to tell you about my mom at hospice. And there's some weird editor in me going like, you guys already heard enough about my mom. You probably don't want to hear it. No, but I hope you don't mind if I go there, because that's what came up for me. Do I have your permission? And sometimes it's just, it came up with me in me so strongly. And I'm like, if we can do it over there, certainly we can do it for something that we're creating, you know, the whether we're making coffee or we're serving the people we're meant to serve. We can do it over there. We can do it over here. That's why I wanted to tell you about this. So as you know, I was with my mom through the summer at hospice, and it was very hard, but it was also amazing. And I really want to emphasize how amazing it was today. And part of its amazingness, we laughed like crazy this summer. We did. And I remember one day in particular, and I was just talking to a friend about this a couple days ago, and that's why it came to mind, I think. You know, I can't tell you all the details because it's like, it's not my story to tell, but I'm going to tell you it the best I can, right? Will you promise it just stays in this room? Okay. I won't tell you who, so I'll protect their identity, because I'm really, confidentiality really matters, right? But but this part I can tell you. So I found out that somebody who's known her for a long time has this like deep crush on my sister. And it's been decades long and I didn't know. And this part of the fun that happened this summer, all right? So I talked to my niece, my sister's daughter, about it. And she goes like, well, yeah, Michelle, like, didn't you know? Like, that's old news. I've known that since I was a kid. I'm like, geez, like, what's wrong with me? You know, I probably didn't know this is my sister. That person is right there in front of me, you know? So then I got into hospice and, you know, it's like heavy, it's hard, you know, but what if we could bring a lightness to this? If we were able to do that over there this summer, I know we can all do this here, right? So I go to talk to my mom and I say, Mom, you know, did you realize I've got something to tell you, but like, don't tell anybody because, you know, like, my preserve is, I'm not gonna tell you who it is, right? But I just found out that, you know, he's got a super crush on my sister, Sherry. And my mom from her bed rolls her eyes and she's going like, that's just like my niece, kind of like, so yesterday, that's been going on for years. Like, tell me something new. And I'm like, oh God, I missed it. I thought it was good for the story. I thought I understood things. I totally missed this. This has been going on for decades. And I didn't really notice that the staff were in there coming in to do their thing, you know? And one of them, who was my mom's boyfriend, he was so sweet, one of the nurses, he had so much fun with my mom and he took such good care of her. And we started calling him, you know, my mom's boyfriend. And I'm like, geez, you know, he used to work as a harassment advisor. Have we been harassing you? And it's like, he just had fun with that, you know? And so he's coming in the room and he hears part of this and he's like, somebody has a crush on Sherry and I forgot Sherry was coming to visit all the time. It's like, oh my God, you know, Sherry can't find out that I'm talking about this. So I know what she is, right? I would tell her now and she would laugh, but you know, and Sherry convinced him all this, right? And so they just said, Mark, you have to tell me, I'm your boyfriend. You can't keep it from my boyfriend. You have to tell me who this is, right? I'm terrible with secrets. I'm like, oh no, what have I done, right? And my mom, whose mind is sharp as anything, right until the day she died, just like clear and sharp, you know? She says, I'm like, Mom, don't tell him. And she says, like, Mom, she says, I'm sorry, Josh, I can't tell you. I have amnesia. And she's just giggling. You know? I'm like, oh my God, thank God. And we're just like, we're laughing so hard. And you kind of had to be there. I get it. And we're just like falling. The nurses are coming around. And then the whole nursing station hears about it. And then the others come in and want to know the secret. And it's running through the whole hospice. And we're killing ourselves laughing. And my mom is joking about having amnesia in her last days in the hospice. Like, if we're not having fun, we're not doing it right. If we're not having fun, we're not doing it right. And when we were there, I did a limbo for my mom with my underneath my arm, my niece's arm, and we lip synced some of her favorite songs. And you know, like, we had a blast. I know you guys know it was hard too, but we had a blast. If we're not having fun, we're not doing it right. So we can do this with our big why too, and our why, we want it to incorporate that fun. Right? My why is to serve the planet and it feels really heavy and I know I'm going to be exhausted in doing it because I've got to be a martyr and because otherwise I haven't done my duty on this planet. Like, whatever. What feels fun to you? What lights you up? What would make you by the end of your life go like, wow, what a fabulous ride. I really loved every piece of it. Every piece of it was beautiful and joyful and on point. And it was crazy sometimes, but I freaking loved it. We're not having fun. We're not doing it right. And if you, I'm not going to do it this time, but sometimes in previous years, I've been teaching about having a big why. You could go look it up yourself. Yeah, just not now, but you can do it tomorrow. You can go in on YouTube and just put in the words, what does the fox say? What does the fox say? If you've been around in previous years, we've watched this here sometimes. I'm not going to do that. What is this crazy song that these two guys came up with that's been seen now by over a billion people? If you think this doesn't have any practical application for our businesses, and they just made up this song on a lark, and they had a really great, important opportunity, and they should have taken it. And instead, they just thought they'd do something fun with it, and now a billion people have seen it. And then they're interviewed on Ellen, and then Ellen's singing with them. What does the fox say? And it's just this ridiculous song. And maybe it's got some meaning to it, or, you know, but it's just, they just were having fun. Let that be a part of your purpose, a part of your mission, a part of your why. Notice if it's there or not. When it's not there, it's like, what can I do to have more fun? And the piece about our businesses too. One of my clients, she said, you know, Michelle, she said this years ago. She said, you're the one who taught me the more fun I have, the more money I make. And so we'll talk about the money at the end. But growing, that's growing our companies. That's serving more people, right? So she says, I've got to book some more fun on my calendar because I'm ready for the next level of my company, right? So where is the fun? Are you having some fun, right? And there's another entrepreneur who I really admire who does super heart-centered work. And he says, like, the harder I dance, the more money I make too. It's like having fun on stage, just bringing it all, right? And I just wanted to share with you, and we have this handout for you. I'm sure the team will get it for you. And I just want to share it with you, just so you can see it. The fun piece of today, right? or the suggestion to go have some fun, right? For not having fun, we're not doing it right. A quick formula. Be curious, try new things, have a beginner's mind. You know, go take salsa dancing because you haven't done it before. I don't know, right? Hang out with playful people. Who are you? Who's around you? Are they always seriously trying to work on their goals? You know, like, I just don't think like that, you know? Doesn't mean we don't spend time on that. It's like, this is serious stuff. Otherwise, everything's going to go wrong. That's just, that's living life in unconscious tragedy. Do something expected. Write your bucket list. Pick one thing, do it. Put some fun on your calendar. Your kids don't have to put on their calendar, like, on Tuesday at 2 o'clock, I'm going to have some fun, right? But as adults, sometimes we need that structure. That's like, I'm just going to put this block on my calendar. I'm going to go have some fun. Julie Cameron says, like, she talks about having artist dates in the artist way. And as entrepreneurs, we're artists, we're creators, you know? She says, go for 2 hours and go do something just for yourself. Put some fun on your calendar. Kids do it. They love that. They don't do it because it's life-changing. They do it because it's fun. Tap into your playful side. Do something unexpected. Hang out with playful people. Watch your company grow. So the starting point for having a big why is not to get all serious and downtrodden about it, but just to let yourself be playful. Know that, you know, if we're, there's a movie that came out years ago. The movie wasn't even very good, but one line from it really stayed with me. There's a one version of Lost in Space, and there's this really smart daughter of in the family. She's a doctor, and she does all this important research, and she's out to save the planet. And then there's this kind of swashbuckling pilot who comes on board to, like, help them save the planet, right? And he's trying to get her to go out on a date. And she's like, I don't have time for that. I want to save the planet. You know? She's like, trying to stop his advances. I mean, he's being pretty forward and everything, right? But he's just like, I don't have time for that. I got to save the planet. And he's like, begging your pardon, ma'am, but, you know, I don't have time for fun. She's like, begging your pardon, ma'am. If there's no time for fun, like, what are you saving the planet for? All right. I think you've got it. So, and you can build fun in your sales and marketing, building fun and building your team. Just notice that in every area. If your why is getting too heavy, you know, what's my why for my team? Because I'm going to have an outrageously wonderful team who's fun, and we laugh a lot, and we get stuff done too. Can you feel it? building the why, building the fun into it. Okay. I think what I want to do, let me think. Yeah, I just want to put you into Paris for now, and just for a couple of minutes, and just here's your task ahead of you. A task, even that sounds like so task-oriented, like an adult, right? You know? What's one way you're going to have fun, like today or this week, in your company, in your life, in your world? What's fun for you? I just want you to contemplate this with another human being just for a minute. So it's like real and on the court. It's not something theoretical, right? And go have fun while you're talking about it. What would that even be? So I'll give you 3 minutes. That's 1 minute each with a bit of overlap time. The one with the shortest hair goes first. The one with the longest hair keeps time. 1 minute, one way that you're going to put fun, and you know you're going to do it either today or this week. You're going to put it on your calendar, or you're just going to go do it after this call, or you're going to, next time you're, it could be as playful or as serious as you want it to be. It's like, wow, I'm going to think about sales and fun. I don't usually think of that part of my company as fun. I'm going to actually think about that and go do something fun and bring into sales. I don't know. Be creative with it. Make sense? 1 minute each, some way you're going to bring fun, actually, really, don't say things you don't mean, actually, really, in your, have fun in your life this week or today. Let me break you up into groups of two. Let me see. So that would be, I think this is right. And then give me 1 second. Just have to rearrange a few things. Okay, I think we're good. Oh, wait. Okay, and if you're in a room of three, just go a little faster. All clear, any questions? All right, 1 minute each. How are you actually gonna have fun this week? Have fun while you're doing it. Go ahead, we'll see you back in a couple minutes. Is here, I think. Yes, yay. All right. Thank you guys. I would love to hear from just one or two of you briefly. How did that go? What's opening for you now? What's your aha? Who would like to share? In this simple little exercise. Yeah, Marnie, thank you.
Just how simple it is, that the kind of concepts that people were talking about, I mean, you know, sometimes are big, like a trip to New York or, you know, but also it might just be playing with your pets and, or dancing in the kitchen and having some fun.
I love it. Thank you. And by the way, this piece is very much connected with Quantum Leaps too. Create your future story, because often we create a vision that's not fun for us, that we don't even want to inhabit. And we do it accidentally. And we haven't even noticed we've done it because we're so in service. Like, well, I'm going to work 47 hours a day and take care of people because it's my duty to take care of people on the planet. And we wonder why we can't build our companies, you know, so from the simple things, you know, with our pets, you know, or dancing in the kitchen to a trip to New York. I love it. Thank you, Marnie. Beautiful. Let's hear from one more. Yes, Heidi. Thank you.
My editor totally was saying, don't you raise your hand, because I always struggle with, anytime there's a question, have fun, I'm like, oh God, I don't know how to do that. And that's my story of, I don't know how to have fun. And so I said, okay, no, I had a pull from my toes to find fun. And, but Diane was a wonderful partner because she just like at the gate had fun stuff. I was like, okay, I'm gonna take from you, Diane. Thank you. And I'm gonna play with my dog too. Yes, it is fun to play with him. And that was great. And I said, you know, this is really powerful because so much of the why and so much of what I talk about can be very heavy. Yes. And wow, fun and humor like would just be so wonderful to just like lift the spirit, you know, in a compassionate way. And I said, okay, so I'm giving myself homework to look for something silly and fun that I can post.
Yay. Heidi, fantastic. I love it. Every single piece that we do all year long, it works synergistically together. So the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and any one piece implemented can be life-changing for you and your company. This, Heidi, is one of those examples for you, right? Because if you think about it, your area, you know, moms with autism, with kids with severe autism, it's such a heavy topic. And so that's how people treat it. And just this one piece, what if that could be shifted? And how can I, like, once we see it, we can't not see it, right? Like, once we enter into this world, like, how can I want or think that I can have that mother's life be better if there's no fun in it and there's no fun for the kids? Because that's how the world has been described by those who talk about autism. That itself can be a standout quality in the marketplace for you. That can completely change your company, that can completely change the people's lives, the people you serve. Yeah, because that's a piece that's missing too. I think about my sister with her, you know, my sister's son is autistic, and how much of seriousness there's had to be. And so there's a deep imbalance. And then you try to find your why from there. Like, yeah, thank you for hearing it. And I just want to add this one piece, and this is for all of us, whatever area you're in, even if you're about, you know, creating happiness. I was at one talk where a woman was, her area was happiness. And she said, you know, I go for days on end and I forget to smile. I'm like, you're training about happiness and you forget to smile for days? Like, what's wrong with this picture? You know, like I laugh like 20 times today. So, like, you know, I mean, creating empowering story creates joy and creates happiness and creates vision, all those things, right? I was like, whether it's a really heavy topic or like hers, her topic is about happiness. And she was forgetting to have fun. Like, oh my goodness, right? And then everything in between. And just another example of that, a dear friend, her area, she works with adults who were abused, like horrendously abused as a kid, like another very heavy area. And if you see her talking, she's one of the funniest speakers on the planet. She just like has people in stitches. She's one of the funniest people I know. And she talks about, this is the way she talks. She's like, well, we're going to open a can of whoop-ass healing. You know, it's like, who talks like that? You know, nobody talks like that in her area. And it's a standout quality. Thank you. Love it. Anything else bubbling up, wanting to be shared? Great work, you guys. Great work. And play. That's why I call it home play, not homework. You're all serious, right? Dawn, go ahead. Thank you.
That's what I shared with Marie is while you were speaking, Michelle, I was thinking of my big why and how it is about bringing the freedom to be happy and light and free. Then why do I get depressed about it? It's so heavy on me. And I just, that's why I started to laugh while you were talking, because I thought that how ridiculous that is.
And you know, once we see it, we can't not, you know, it's really good. Now we see it, right? But before we see it, it's too, we're close, too close, and we can't see it. And again, this is why having the big why, big why retreat right before Quantum Leaps Create Your Future Story is perfect timing. We've never set it up this way. And I'm so excited about having these back to back in this way, first time ever in all the years of this community, because they are intimately connected. And we start out with the fun. Thank you for noticing. And again, we could have just saved you a year on your entrepreneurial journey. Easily. Do y'all get that? If you get that, raise your hand. Easily in that one piece. You kind of gone to Google it, but we don't see it for ourselves. And when we see it, it's like, oh, right. Thank you. Love it. Anything else? Anything else bubbling up? Okay, good, good, good. Great work and play, you guys. When I say great work, we'll hear that differently now too. Great work, great play. Good, good, good. Okay. All right. Let's take a breath. Inhale, exhale, let it go. And again, inhaling, exhale, let it go. Good, all right. Now, why versus how? I know you've heard this before. If you've heard something about this before, raise your hand. Everybody has. Whatever, do we actually do it? You know, like, it's not about the how, it's about the why. Well, why is that? They carry very different energies and they carry very different stories. They come from very different stories about what our world is, about who we are, about how we interact with the world, right? And if we think of Dawn's example too, like I'm training people to be happy in life, but I get depressed about it. You know, it's like, how am I going to do that? Because there's so many people who are depressed and they feel so dark. It's like, oh, cool, dark, 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 right? Why do I want to do that? Because, well, I want people to have more play and more fun in their life because it's a better world for everybody because it's better relationships, better families. But can you feel the difference in the energy just in a few seconds? That was the how versus the why, carrying very different stories about our world, ourselves, our place in it, right? So I want to give another example of that. So they, how and why come from very different energies, they create very different energies, and they come from very different stories. I just want to elaborate and then I want to give another example. So the how tends to be really stuck in our past and worried and fearful of the future and not wanting to have regrets and right, so worried and tense and the how, and I don't know if I'm big enough, I can't figure it out. So of course it's heavy. The why is pointed toward the future. It has possibility, it has vision, all those things that you guys talked about at the beginning. Of course they carry a different energy and a different story. Make sense? Now I want to give you another micro example of how this appears. By the time we get to the little stories and big stories, it's going to take 10 seconds. You guys will already have understood it from everything else we've done. You know, the why is in our big stories, it's in our little, it's our, you know, big vision, it's in our how we make the coffee. You already get it, right? But I want to give another example of the why versus the how. It's different energy, different, because they come from different stories. I want to think of a business example. So this one is, some of you know that when we first did the Facebook challenge, it took us about 3 months to come up with the title for the Facebook challenge. Right? So if you talk to any team members who are in on that, they're like sometimes rolling their eyes at me. You know? Like, how come you can't come up with the title, Michelle, for the Facebook challenge? Like, you know, all the stuff to do and emails to create, you know, like, you know, I mean, the vision, the team that needs to implement pieces of it is like, Michelle, we need a title, right? So something as simple as, but instrumental in a company as coming up with a title for our Facebook challenge last spring, first time we did it. Let me do the how versus the why so you can hear it, all right? Because again, knowing it is intellectual knowledge and actually getting it in our bones and implementing it, very different things. So how are we going to come up with the title? This is, you know, me and the team sometimes last February say, how, not why, how are we going to come up with the title for the Facebook challenge? It's going to be really hard. And it has been really hard. It's been taking months. There are different opinions on the team. Already it's trying to hurt right here. You know, just two big pieces of how. The Facebook, my Facebook ads guy, he's wonderful. But he like really deeply disagreed with the idea that I had. And I really respect his opinion. And so how do we come to a consensus? Like, can you feel what's happening to the energy in the room? Less than 1 minute. And how able do you feel? I mean, we did it, but imagine yourselves as this company last February. How able do you feel to create that Facebook title right now? On a scale of 1 to 10, it's like a sub-zero, I think, right? But we get all caught up with the how because we think, well, that's how we're going to get it done. And now there's no energy in the room. We end the day exhausted. Then we chain ourselves to our desk to get it done. And then remember that state that Dawn so beautifully described, and you're not alone, right? We do that to ourselves. It feels heavy and I get depressed about it. And now I've got to do it. And I've got to put in the hours for it because, oh, I'm not, it stops a creative process. Yes, it does. Thank you. So what about the why? Which is where sometimes I fell into the how. I do that too, right? And the team does too sometimes. But I kept coming back and coming back. What's the why? Just the title for the Facebook challenge? Just the title? Well, the title says what the purpose of the challenge is. And we really want to serve people. When we want to serve people at the highest level, we could do a challenge around story on any topic at all. But what does our audience really want? What will really help them? What will take them to the next level? And what am I really jazzed about myself that I want to study and investigate so that I'm having fun as I'm creating that challenge? Somebody gave me one idea and I'm like, yeah, that would be good for them, but I don't want to do that. I just don't. There's no energy there. Yes, that would help people, but let somebody else do that. And it took us 3 months, but it's like influence through story. Because then I can teach people how to create influence. If I never see them again, when they become more influential, and these are all heart-centered people who are going to be showing up, they can, you know, sell their stuff. They can help their clients. They can feel bigger in themselves. When they can tap into that power of story, it changes everything. And also from a company perspective, there's always, we'll talk about this with Mary Kay's talk, but we always want a PSPS, problem, solution, problem, solution. We're going to solve a problem for people. But there's a genuine bona fide a problem that remains. And then we're going to be able to help some of those people further. And if we talk about influence through story, well, there's influence, yes, but there's all these other areas. And you see how you go deep dive into that one thing, but then you see that there's all these other areas about story that could really help you. We don't have time to talk about this here, even in a whole week. Why don't you come to Story Freedom and we'll talk about how story works, how you can access the power of story to create the business you love. Can you see that there's a problem? I don't know how to be influential. Story will help me. The solution, come to the Facebook challenge, right? And we'll help you with that. The problem is that, oh, wow, now that I found out how deep story is, I want to use the power of story for every part of my business. I realize so much more is possible. Oh, come to Story Freedom and we can help you further. So it gives us a trajectory. How much do you want to focus on which one is the right title now? How much do you think that's going to be generating? I'm all talking about like the why of spending time to figure out what the title is, because it's the purpose, because it allows us to help people more, because it allows me to have fun in what I'm doing. Now, how much do you feel like creating that title? Now, how much is it going to get done? And with a whole different energy, with very different results, is this, right? Okay. You guys got that. What I would love to do, because that's me, I want to do this just with one of you. On something that you, it could be something that you, let's do it with something that you have coming up, something that you, a goal that you have, something that you'd like to do. It could be that I want to have a nice dinner tonight. I don't care. Or it could be that I want to have 5 new people in the work that I do by next March. Or it could be that I want to meet that next person really easily that I'm going to serve next. I don't know. Or it could be that I'm going to find a team member I need. I'm going to have a fun day at the park with my nephew. I don't know. Who has something that they want coming up? Everybody does. Who would like to just play with this for a couple minutes so we can see it one more time and get it in our bones? Who would like to play? Yeah, Heidi, thank you. Okay, Heidi, so what's that thing that you want? Just in a sentence.
The next session, I'm having my next session of 25 minutes for me in my Facebook group, Take a Breath and Breathe, for mothers of severely autistic people. And I'd like to attract more of the group members to actually attend that gathering.
Okay. All right. So, well, how are you going to do that, Heidi? And yeah, the how we will get to. How is important. I'm not trying to say how isn't important. But we need the foundation of the why, and then the how is going to come out. But let's try starting with the how. Okay, Heidi, tell us like the 5 ideas you have about how are you going to do this?
I'm going to post in the group itself.
Okay, before you say more, could you hear her energy? Who's listening to that? We don't even need to hear anymore.
Right.
If you heard it, if you were paying attention and you heard it, raise your hand. You heard it too, didn't you, Heidi?
I did. I felt it.
So great. Felt in the body, heard it. We don't even need to hear anything more. And that's why I'm so glad too. You get it. We have marketing a story after this big why, after Quantum Leaves, and then marketing a story is going to feel very, very different. Marketing is just how we get in front of the people that we're going to serve, that we could possibly serve. And if we just start with the tactics, and everybody wants that, like what are the nuts and bolts? What are the things I'm supposed to do? We actually already know what we're supposed to do usually. Doesn't Heidi already know? It's not where the problem is, right? The problem's with the energy and the story, because as you were saying that, you felt it, we all heard it. What was the story that was going on, Heidi? Because I think you can articulate it pretty well. Just for a second, we won't stay there, but what was the story going on?
Oh, I hate posting, and how annoying, and is this even going to work? And it just in the group itself is not enough. I'm going to have to also post in other places and maybe bring in more people who might show up. And
good enough. Like, do we even want to hear more of that? And you did it because I asked you to, but isn't this awful? And this is how we usually think of marketing, sales, different parts of our company. It's like, what? you know, like, let's save a year and not do it that way. Do you know? And we might even do some of those very actions. You get it? I'm not anti-action. Action matters. We just sit always and don't do something, nothing happens. But what's the come from place? How do we find inspired action? And what's the energy behind it? Whether we're making coffee or finding a title for a Facebook challenge or attracting people to attend. There was how we got to even just the first one, and already we know that we can't get there easily from there, and the energy is going to, and then talking to those people, every time you talk to them, they're going to feel that too. Mm-hmm. And then like, are we working too hard? This is Jack Canfield's 1 hour of work in the inner world, 7 hours of work in the outer world. Are you working too hard? You can do all those activities. And what's the point, right? And even if people, like, you'll get one or two people or whatever it is, you're going to be working 10 times harder than you need to. And then who are the people you're attracting, et cetera, et cetera. If you all got that, I know you got it. Raise your hand. We're all on the same page, right? Got it. Okay. So Heidi, what'd you have for breakfast? I just want to clear out that energy for a minute. I want to think about something different. What did you have for breakfast today?
Oatmeal.
Yeah, anything to think about something else just for a minute. Thank you.
I can answer that.
Oh, look, there's already an I can do that, because the other one was full of I can, right? It's like, right. I can do that. I ate oatmeal. It was good for me. I'm getting healthy. I like my oatmeal. All right, good. Thank you. Different thoughts. So sometimes also we think about it in this grandiose way, like, oh, I've got to get 100 people there because of the way, you know. But let's just think about one person. Because sometimes that's easier. It brings it down to real life. It makes it doable. It's like, Heidi, do you think that there's one person who they could either be there or not be there? And if they actually came, it could really make a difference for them?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's even ask it in a simple way. Why do you want just even that one person to be there?
Still feel better.
Yeah. I've got chills. Now we don't even have to take this any further, because I know you're all getting it. What if Heidi did all those, and just think how much fun we're going to have at marketing a story when it comes from this place. Y'all get that? Because Heidi could go, she could do all those things she said she's going to go post. I don't even want to repeat those things.
Yeah.
Or she could think of one person. It's probably already in her circle. She could reach out and give that one. Do you have one person, you know, that could maybe be there, Heidi, that you already know? Is there even one person you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. She already knows them. She knows she knows them. And look at how different this energy is.
Yeah.
And what if she just reached out to that person any way possible? Doesn't even matter. She could call them, send them a note. I don't care.
Right.
And from that place inside Heidi, she just has a conversation with a real live conversation with a real live person. And if the conversation turns that way, she says, can you give us her name? Her first name?
Ina.
Ina. You know, I'd love for you to come. I think you'll feel better. Seeing the connection with marketing a story, we're going to have so much fun that day. What kind of results is she going to get with the how version and all the things that we learn about marketing and what we're supposed to do, and we get so exhausted, right? And it's not effective, and then we pedal harder. Starting with the why, and the how just appeared. I mean, now she's gonna, Heidi, do you think you might reach out to that one woman, to Ina?
Yes.
And it's like, does it even matter? She's going to call her. She's going to send her a note. Like, who cares? We know how to do that stuff. That's not ever where the problem is. Yes, we got to do it. We got to do something.
Right.
But now, how much more likely is Heidi to actually do something and not feel awful in the doing of it? Thank you.
Thank you.
This is the how versus why. Different energy comes from our stories, moves the world. One last piece, and you guys already get this. It's just naming what we've already been doing. And a lot of that's going to happen in our second half, I think, because we've already been getting it. I just need to name it and you'll see it. We heard it. This was, remember, number one was if we're not having fun, we're not doing it right. Number two was why versus how. I told you we would do these things, but I said it's going to blow it out of the water. Thank you, Heidi, for playing full out here. Thank you, all of you. I mean, so much that we've heard from all of you. Beautiful, right? And the third thing, the why, comes from our stories. I already said it, but I just want to underline it here. A central thread in every story is desire. If you were at story mastery, you know that at the heart of story, somebody wants something. If you were story freedom, you've heard this, somebody wants something, something gets in the way. It comes to a crisis, you know, something like something, and they got to make a decision and then there's a result. That's a story. But somebody wants something is at the heart of story. Somebody wants something. That's a why. Why do you want, see what, like why she wants something. Why do you want Ina to come? Because she'll feel better. A world of story behind that. Can you feel that? And the energy that comes from that. So when we understand that, and again, like know more and more about story, when we understand that thread of desire, we understand how, and not just intellectually, how that why, that big why works. And then we don't end up working crazy, crazy hard with so few results. It's like one action, deep results, because we come from this place. Making sense? All right, you guys got that. All right. I know we said we'd have a break at quarter after. I just want to finish this idea. This is point number three, right? And the other one, so we already got to the everyday wise, the big wise, you already got that. Much of what we've done, much of what I talked about, we've already done. Like I said, I'm just going to name it. You'll hear it like you just did with this one. This is number three. So why is desire desire is at the heart of story. And desire, to have desire is to have a big why around that thing. And I just want to say a few words about desire. You'll see how this overlaps with story mastery if you were at story mastery. And you will understand it if you weren't at story mastery, because people understand about stories. We just don't have conscious access. You'll get it by what I say. Story isn't just about, yeah, I kind of want that thing. Did you see what was in Heidi in that moment? It's not about just, yeah, I kind of want that thing. It's Robert Olin Butler. He helps story writers write their stories. And he calls it yearning. He's not the only one doing so. It's yearning. Did you see that in Heidi? It's like that deep guttural right from inside of us. Stories teach us about that. And our lives teach us about that when we're paying attention. It's what I was missing when I'm like, I'm going to make the coffee and whatever. And there's nothing burning there. There's nothing of what really, really matters. And what we'll do after the break is how we get to that deeper level of that why. That's the first thing we're going to do after the break. Okay. But I just wanted to underline, it's not just, I kind of want something. It's a deep yearning. We saw it in Heidi. Thank you, Heidi, for your vulnerability. Thank you for playing. Thank you for sharing that we got it, you know? And then this overlaps. Again, if you're at Story Mastery, you'll get this. If not, you'll get a chance to be at Story Mastery next time we do it. And also you have access to the recordings, right? You don't need to go there right now to hear this. And if you're at Story Mastery, you'll hear this deeply. When we have that why, that thing that we want, story teaches us that it's multi-layered as well. And there's the external thing we want, and there's the internal thing we want. Heidi went right to the internal thing. She'll feel better. The external as well, you know, to grow my company, and she could have been all intellectual about it, but it was a deep inner yearning, and the inner ones drive story. If you remember, if you're at Story Mastery, you'll remember that the inner ones drive story. Example, I've often given is Luke Skywalker in Star Wars. Yeah, he wants to save the galaxy, but what he really wants is to be closer to the father that he never knew, that he thought of as this Jedi Knight. He didn't know he was a Jedi Knight, and he could be like him. I get chills just saying it. I love that show, right? You know, because it's driving inside of him. So we want to tap into the power of story to make this why bigger and deeper. And again, I want to underline, I said it earlier, a big vision creates a big why. Could you see it vibrating in Heidi? Just in a few words, she'll feel better. Can you feel the power of all of Heidi's vision in just those simple words? Sometimes we look for complex words and systems and funnels and all that stuff. And we got to clear it all out. It's like, what's the simple, simple thing? And why gets us there? All right. Let's close out this first half of our Having a Big Why half-day retreat with one or two or three words from each person in the room. Just not more than a sentence, because I got so much more I want to share with you. See, I'm giving you a why for not speaking for too long right now. I don't want you to speak for too long because I want to share with you all these other things. If I give you that why, it's more likely that you'll only say a sentence right now, not because I don't want to hear from you, but because I want to share with you, right? So one or two or three words, something that encapsulates something that's not something that's opening you, something, some aha. It could be like, oh, simple. Yeah, that could be it, right? One or two or three words, not more than a sentence. So we get to hear what's opening for each person in the room. That means more is opening for us. Do you see that I just gave you a why for listening in this next moment? I can't help it. It's how I think. I didn't go, let me give them a why right now. It's just because I practice it and I know about story, and that's how I think about the world and be in it to the best of my ability. So there's your why for both speaking it briefly and for listening. So let's end this part, this first half, with one or two or three words. Marnie, you can go first. Yes, thank you.
External need is fun. Internal need is connection.
Thank you. Love it. Let's go. I'm going to go around in order here so we can, for the rest of this. Marie, you're up in my top left-hand corner. Why don't you go next?
Think about one person.
Yes. Dawn. And the one person, powerful for finding our why. Powerful, powerful. Thank you. Dawn.
My big why can be simple.
Yes. Very different year coming out of that. So good. Anna Maria.
The importance of a real conversation to have a connection with one person.
Yes. We're going to do a deep dive into that in February with the high ticket virtual retreat too. All this teaching, it all works synergistically together. Love it. Yes. Thank you. Yes. One person. We'll do pieces of that in practical applications. We'll understand that in marketing story too. Yes. Real conversation. One person. Thank you. Marnie. Oh, you already went. You're just in the center of my screen. Loved it. Diane.
My why can be fun instead of heavy.
Life changing. Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy? Like it's our birthright. We start that way until somebody else tells us not to be that way. Just coming back to that childlike nature inside of us. It's natural to us. Even if we can't even remember it because it was so early on, it's there. Thank you. Heidi.
Why is the marketing problem solver?
Yes. Oh, I love that. Yes, it is. Love it. And Mary Kay, Wendy, I don't know if you're in a place where you can speak, but speak now. Or yes, Mary Kay.
Fun for my mentorship. I mean, I want to bring more fun to them, to two of my clients.
Yes, I love it. Thank you. Yes, yes. All right. Let's take a break, and let's take a break until 2:30 Mountain Time. And what's the why for that? So you can rejuvenate, so you can, don't go check your email, please. Stay in this energy. Take great care of yourself. Go have some fun. Go for a walk, do Shavasana, get a cup of tea, whatever it is you need to gather your energy for our second half. There's so much more that I want to share with you today. You guys are doing an amazing, amazing job. This is great, great work. I will see you at 2:30.